Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander along with producer-engineer Ben Winpigler on the Eagle Hour today. We've got the whole hour with Dennis McNellis, who is the husband of the late Joy Lee McNellis, who is just a tick past a year ago now that we lost Coach McNellis. And Coach Dennis McNellis has also been called Coach a lot of his life. And we're going to kind of recount some of the great memories that he has and how he was actually a coach and how they met and the rest of the story. And for those of you that are as old as I am, you remember who used to say that, Paul Harvey. This first segment of the program brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. Leave your catering chores, whether it's big or small, to Dickie's. Great barbecue with a great selection of side dishes. Always delicious. Dickie's Barbecue Pit, big supporters of Southern Miss. Dennis McNellis was born in Jersey City, New Jersey, but calls the Hampton Roads area of Virginia kind of his hometown. We say kind of because he was a military brat, moved all over the world, some 9 different moves, eventually wound up getting his master's degree in student counseling from Clemson from 1978 to 1980, where he was a graduate assistant, then moved on to Florida State University back in the old Metro Conference days when Joe Williams was coaching the men's team, and then went on to coach at what is now Texas State. It was then Southwest Texas State in San Marcos. And it's great to have you here, Coach McNellis. Just recently retired from the Lahr County Schools where he was in student counseling. And first of all, it's been just a little bit past a year. We've got some great news. We're gonna talk about Joy Lee here in just a minute. But how you doing, first
Very
of all?
Very good. It's been a travel and experience, and you know, I have my days where I reminisce and get upset, but my daughter and grandkids have kept me very busy, and also I was able to purchase a piece of property out in Marion County. I've always wanted to have a piece of property to myself for the family, could deer hunt and all that, where I belong to a group up in Collins, but it's pretty restrictive, so I was able to do that, so I'm busy with the land, busy, and my oldest granddaughter, Whitney, my daughter, with Joy and I, her oldest daughter got into travel softball this year, and that's quite time-consuming.
Which was actually the first sport that you coached, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I want to talk, first of all, about the news breaking today about Joy Lee. It was announced today that posthumously, obviously, the Conference USA Hall of Fame has announced that Joy will go in as a member of the CUSA Hall of Fame. News to us, Coach McNellis, but not necessarily new. You knew.
Yes. About a month ago, Max over at Southern Miss called Whitney and I and said, we'd like you to come in and talk a little bit. We're doing a program where we're talking about the legends of Southern Miss, and you know, your wife, your mother is one of them, and so we'd like to come in. So we did. My daughter and I, she got out at lunch, and we went in, and Max had stuff set up in the conference room in the athletic facility, and we're sitting there, and he goes, okay, we're ready to start, and he presses a button on his computer, and the TV screen up on the wall that we're facing comes on, and it's the commissioner of Conference USA, and I'm going, what's going on here?
Judy McLeod.
Yes, and she tells us, she says, yes, we just want to let you know, it's not public knowledge, da-da-da-da, that Joy is going to be inducted into the 2026 Conference USA Hall of Fame.
Well, she really came full circle, because Conference USA, is my opinion, actually evolved from the old Metro Conference. A lot of those teams. I would argue that, but
I totally agree with you. Okay. I mean, when it first started, it was a mesh of what was the Great Midwest Conference and the Metro. So you had Cincinnati, you had Louisville, you had DePaul, you had Marquette, you had Charlotte, you had St. Louis, Memphis, Southern Miss, Tulane. And so it was a very good conference. And back when Joy was coaching at Memphis, it started in 95. 95, 96 was the first actual year of the conference. And back then, the conference would get two and three, sometimes four women's teams in the NCAA tournament. And so it was very, very competitive back then. You know, that first year was amazing because Joy got her team got their brains beat in by DePaul both times during regular season, and then Memphis got hot at the end of the year. They beat her alma mater in their last regular season game. Then they beat Southern Miss again in the semifinals by a few points. Then played DePaul for the championship, and ended up beating them in overtime. It's still the all-time highest scoring game.
And we're going to rewind the tape on how you and Joy met. It's a really interesting story, and I've heard her tell us on the show a little bit, and you'll be able to fill in the blanks and give your side of the story. But I think that there was genuine surprise, Dennis, when she left Memphis to come to Southern Miss, because everybody associates things with dollars, right? And she took a pay cut at the time to come to Southern Miss. Tell us about that decision, about her saying, I'm going to leave Memphis and go back to Southern Miss for less money.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing because, I mean, previously she had turned down offers from South Carolina, Florida State. Texas A&M, several years before, had offered her $250,000 a year, and she turned them down. It was too far away from her family. And family was very important to her, her faith, family, and her team. In that order, was the importance to her. And she always had this feeling that she wanted to come back to Southern Miss. As a matter of fact...
Where she played, of course.
Yes. And was an assistant coach with Kay James for 5 years. As a matter of fact, prior to that time, Memphis had just renewed her for a 5-year contract. And she told our daughter was in 8th grade then, getting ready to go to 9th grade. She said, "Sis, you're good through high school unless Southern Miss calls." And lo and behold, 3 weeks later, Southern Miss called and offered a job. We interviewed with Mr. Giannini and Sonia Varnell up in Grenada and left, and we were disappointed with the salary and sure. This, that, and the other thing. But she kept the door a little bit open, and Mr. G was persistent, as I was long ago, and he kept knocking on that door, knocking on that door, knocking on that door. And my daughter told her one day, they were sitting out by the pool, she said, "Mom," she wanted to go to Briarcrest and play for Hugh Freeze, who had coached girls basketball and football at Briarcrest. And she went there her junior high school years. And she said, "Mom, I didn't grow up dreaming to play for Coach Freeze, but you've always wanted to go back to Southern Miss. Let's go." And the rest is history. So we came back. But her parents were at all our games. We got to take care of her parents. And if we had been far away, none of that would happen. So that's why, family.
And because I remember at the time, people said, "Boy, Joy Lee McNellis would be great." And I remember saying at the time, "Yeah, but I think she's financially out of the ballpark." And then when it was announced, and I think she succeeded Rick Reeves,
yes.
I think, at the time. I said I was just shocked, pleasantly surprised.
Well, the other thing, a little caveat to all that was John Calipari and Joy coached together at Memphis for several years. And they were very, 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 very good friends till the day she passed away. Anyway, he would talk to her. He just called her, Joy Lee. He says, "What?" She said, "John, the salaries are terrible and everything." And so Calipari got in touch with, the gentleman that owned Wendy's, that was the big financial booster. And he says, and he was a Southern Miss grad. And he said, He said, you need to send about $25,000 to $50,000 to Southern Miss Foundation and earmark it for Joy's basketball team so she can hire a good assistant coach. And he did that.
I think I would have rather had the free hamburgers myself, but no, that but $50,000 will go a long way. So actually, as we do rewind the tape, and I don't, Ben, how much time we got left going into this break here?
We got about 20 seconds.
Okay, all right, we're gonna hold it, and Dennis McNellis is going to be with us the entire hour. When we come back, we're going to focus on how this this budding romance wasn't necessarily budding without a lot of persistence, we will say, and then how they got together, and it was actually revolved around, imagine that, women's basketball. So we're going to talk about that. A reminder, as we go into this break, don't forget that the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is available every day after the show on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And a shout out to our friends at Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street. You can follow them on Facebook, where you can get up to date with their monthly flavors of the month that you can pour over your freshly made beignets. They don't even start making them until you order them. And that's a Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. These commercial messages, and then we'll continue our discussion with Coach Dennis McNellis as the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Forest Healthcare. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun during the academic year, but don't forget about the most important player, and that's you. Get an annual physical to be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. You can log on to Forest Health. That's Forest with two R's, foresthealth.org. For more information, we appreciate their participation and being a sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Coach Dennis McNellis is with us, the husband of the late Joy Lee McNellis, who it was announced today will go into the Conference USA Hall of Fame. And we've teased this a little bit, Coach, about how you guys met. You were a coach at Florida State, and the other coach McNellis, Joy Lee, was playing at Southern Miss. Take it from there.
Well, the first time I ever really met her or noticed her as a female, not a basketball player, both of our teams went to the National Invitational Tournament back then, the precursor to the WNIT in Amarillo, Texas. There was 8 teams, and before the tournament, we had a buffet. I had a nice little conference, and all the teams were there. Everybody had to do a skit. Well, Southern Miss comes in to do a skit, and here comes this girl, this little white girl with about 5 or 6 black girls, and she had bib overalls on, a red flannel shirt, and her hair was in pigtails. And I said to my head coach, that is the kind of girl you'd like to take home to meet mom and dad. Little did I know that 6 years later we would be married. And then later on, after the tournament, she was upset with the way, she didn't think Kay James played her quite the way she wanted, and she was upset, and she came to me at this social afterwards, and she said, and she had that big, deep Southern accent back then. She says, I want to transfer to Florida State. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. She goes, why? And I said, well, we have a rule that coaches are not allowed to date players, and I might be tempted to ask you out. And that was it, you know. And then we saw each other.
Spitting some game, Coach. I like it.
Then we saw each other the next year at the conference tournament. She was a junior. She was scheduled to be married that summer after her junior year. In that summer, I got the head coaching job at Texas State. Had was hired very late, kept the assistant that I had. Later, that assistant went on to become the softball coach there. course, back then, you didn't have this entourage of coaches. You just
right.
had one assistant coach.
Right.
So anyway, I'd kept a list of players who I thought would be good assistant coaches, and she was on that list. And so I called back, and I called Southern Miss, and I said, what's that Lee girl doing? Did she get married? And they go, no, she called it off three months before the wedding. I said, really? I said, well, what's she doing? She's going to be our grad assistant. I said, well, do you think she'd be interested in a head coaching job? So she was one. A girl from played at South Carolina was another one. A girl that I'd worked camp with played at Northwestern. Those three were on my list, and I wanted to bring them in. And so she came in for the interview. The South Carolina girl wasn't interested. The other girl got a head coaching job, actually. And Joy took the job. And her parents never dreamed she would go that far away from home, you know, because she grew up an hour from here.
Right.
And
so she was in San Marcos then.
So she went 10 hours away. They never dreamed she'd do that. Well, a little aside, when I first met them, her parents was actually when she came for the interview. I was swimming in the San Marcos River, and back then you could go pick people up at the airport, you know, right at the gate. And I looked at my watch and said, oh, I got to pick up Joy Lee at the airport. So I had my hair soaking wet, combed all back, tank top, go running up to meet her, and she gets off the plane, and these two middle-aged people are with her, and they're all in their Sunday best clothes, coat and tie, and the whole bit. And it was her parents.
Oh, boy.
I said, well, let's go get your luggage and everything. And Joy said her mother grabbed her. They're walking behind me. She says, you are not going to work for this maniac. But she did. And so we worked together and we're getting ready to start practice. And she was homesick. And I said, you know what? I said, I need to take you to Austin, Texas, and find a rich cowboy for you to date because I can't have you moping around like this. And we went, and by the end of the night, we weren't looking for a cowboy. I took her home, and at the front door, I said, well, good night, you know. And I said, you know, I think I'd like to ask you out on a real date. And she said, yeah, I think so, too. And so we started dating on the sly for 2 years. And that year, see, I'd been married before, so I remember driving home one day, and I said, you know what? This is what it's supposed to be like. Because we were working 24/7, you know, trying to build a program. We were moving from Division II to Division I. And I asked her to marry me that year, and she said, I know you're absolutely crazy now. And so we dated, but then I got fired in 86, and she immediately came back to Southern Miss to work for Kay James and said, do not call me, don't bother me, leave me alone and everything when she came back. And I said, what? And she did, and she came back and dated these other guys. I got a job in Lafayette, Louisiana, doing fundraising for Reader's Digest, World's Finest Chocolate. And then her mother really disliked me from that first meeting and was on Joy. And finally, her dad said, look, she's still talking to this guy. She hasn't kicked him to the curb. I don't want to hear any more about it. And Mother Lee quieted down. That summer, I went back and coached high school ball in Texas. I said, well, if you're not going to marry me, I'm going to be halfway happy. I'm going to go back and coach. And I went back, coached high school. And that December, she let me come stay with her family for 2 weeks before I had to go to my job in Texas. And her mother come to realize I wasn't exactly this crazy maniac that she thought I was, and we got engaged that Christmas, and we got married in 88, and I always tell people it's the greatest recruiting triumph of all time.
but you were a persistent cuss, weren't you?
Yes, because I knew that's what it was, so, you know.
Now, when she was coaching at Memphis, I know because you did a stint at Northwest Community College in Senatobe. Did that have anything to do with the proximity to Memphis, or
well,
how did
before
that happen?
Before that, okay. You know, I wouldn't listen to what God was telling me, that he didn't want me coaching anymore. When we first got married, I worked at Mr. Gaddy's. I was an area supervisor for Mr. Gaddy's Pizza back in the day. It was on 40th Street. Then I took a coaching job at Columbia Academy, and we were getting ready to have I was coaching two boys' teams in high school, and Joy was assistant at Southern Miss. And we were getting ready to have our first child, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the situation. I said, you know what? This is not going to work. I said, God had a different plan for me. He didn't want me coaching anymore. And now I get it. I said, we'd have to give our child up to a surrogate parent because we were coaching 3 and 4 nights a week. And I said, I will get a counseling job because I got my master's in counseling at Clemson. You're going to be a head coach one day. So, and she goes, no. I said, no. I'm listening. You're going to be head coach one day. So I got a job at Perry Central.
The Bulldogs?
Working in the Votech Center. And that next spring, Whitney was 8 months old. Joy was named the head coach at Memphis as the youngest coach in America at 28 years of age. And, you know, the rest is history. We go to Memphis for 13 years. When we were in Memphis for 13, well, I worked in a Votech, as I mentioned, at Perry Central. My boss was very influential in the vocational thing, and Northwest had an opening. And he convinced the director of all vocational technical education in Mississippi to help me out. And I ended up getting a job at Northwest Mississippi in South Haven. So it was just a short commute for me. So I worked there for 13 years. And see, that's another God thing. I didn't leave the state of Mississippi. I stayed in the state of Mississippi. So I did my 1 year at Perry Central. I did 13 at Northwest. And I came back and I did 21 years at Oak Grove. So I retired with 35 years and 36 with, you know, leave time.
Now, because you coached women's basketball at a high level, like Joy Lee did, how often would you say that you guys talked shop? And in coaching styles, how would you compare yours to hers?
That's a good question. I would go recruiting a lot with her. Like anytime it was a drive time, you know, visit to go watch kids, I would drive. You know, like driving Miss Daisy, I'd drive Miss Joy, and we would go, and then she would ask my opinion on players and stuff like that. But there were times she tried to get me to watch game film with her, and I was hesitant to do that. I said, "You've got assistant coaches for that." She was one of those coaches, a little bit different from me. Now I taught her; she learned defense from me. She never saw a shot she didn't like, so I didn't have to worry about offense. You know,
right.
She'd tell the center, if you want to rebound, get my missed shot. You know, I'm not going to pass the ball because my shot's better than yours. Anyway, so you know, she would watch and she said, okay, if they're guarding you this way, how would you, are they doing this? What would you do? I said, well, you would do this such such, and she said, well, what about? And about third or fourth time, I said, well, then they're going to kick your rear end, and that's it. Your assistant coaches are for you to watch, so we wouldn't watch games.
I think that was probably smart in the long run. Dennis McNellis, we're having a great time with the husband of the late Joy Lee McNellis, who left us June 24th of last year. So it's been just a little bit more than a year, again, being admitted to the Conference USA Hall of Fame. More with Dennis McNellis after these commercial messages. A Wednesday's Eagle Hour rolls on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Special shout out to our friends at MCS Home Center. When it comes to home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. If you haven't been to the facility, you need to. It's just a little bit west of the Highway 589-98 interchange. MCS is the new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West, to be specific. Dennis McNellis is our guest today. We've had an in-depth talk about his life with former women's basketball coach Joy Lee McNellis, who left us just a little past a year ago now. It was June 24th, and here we are into July. I want to back up a little bit, though, Coach. The fact that you were, at the time, 13 years her senior. Did you take a lot of guff for that? You know, a lot of people say, oh, cradle robber, what are you doing? You know, somebody that much younger. It's not really in the grand scheme of things that big a deal, it would seem to me. But
Oh, well, that was one of the strikes that my mother-in-law had against me.
Okay.
So, but not really. You know, a lot of people way back when didn't think there was that much of a gap between us.
Yeah.
And I guess I just acted childish during my middle-aged years that people didn't realize that we were 13 years difference. But not really. I tease sometimes. I always said, yeah, when I was a senior in high school, she was in kindergarten, I took her to the senior prom. And they go, oh, that's gross. But, you know, not really. Not really.
And when you finally put the whistle down as a coach, because up to that point, that was a lot of what your identity was. What eventually made you say, I am definitely done. I am not taking the whistle. I'm done coaching.
The expected birth of our first child. And that's where I grew up in a very God-fearing family. And finally I said, you know, God's been telling me that he doesn't want me coaching anymore. Because I went several years and didn't coach after I got fired at Texas State. You know, I worked in sales. I worked in a restaurant business. And then I did coach that 1 year over in Columbia. But when I saw the schedule that Joy and I had with me coaching two boys' teams in high school and her being an assistant coach, I said, this is just not going to work. You know, our child is the most important thing to us right now.
But when you said that you knew she was going to be a head coach, what made you so certain?
Well, I just knew that she had this drive in her. She was very good at connecting with people. She was a great recruiter when she worked for me. She was a supreme recruiter when she worked for Coach James. I mean, some of the best players. Well, as a matter of fact, the young lady who's recognized as the greatest player at Southern Miss history, Joy recruited, Janice Felder, you know. You know, they averaged 20 wins a season when Joy was assistant coach and they went to NCAA tournament. So she had this drive. She had this ability when she was talking to people to make them feel like they were the most important person on earth to her at that time. And so I just knew that she had that kind of drive and could organize and do things like that.
And you've always said, you've been very pointed when you've said the best motivating thing that you can ever tell Joy Lee McNellis is that she can't do something.
Oh, yes, very definitely. Growing up, her dad raised her with negative reinforcement, I guess. But then on the other side, he would encourage her when she'd come across half court when she was little. He'd go, let it fly, babe. But she had this drive. Like when she was younger, she would take 100 shots on the court in their back field. It was a pecan orchard, and she had to dribble out the grass. And I played on that court, and it's a dirt hard court. And she would take 100 shots every morning before she caught the school bus. Well, that's 180 days times 100 shots. That's 18,000 shots a year. So she had this persistence of wanting to do that. When she was very young in elementary school, her mother would dress her up real nice, and she would wanted to play ball with the boys. And so she would tie her dress up in between her legs, and just she'd play in her socks. She'd take off her shoes. Then she'd mess socks up, and she'd throw them out the window. So her mother did. Oh, I just lost them. Mother didn't know she was playing ball all the time, and that was just her. And she had this incessant drive to be successful and to do the best, you know. And she thought it was she looked at it as, this is what God wants you to do. You want you to be your best, honor Him, and that's the way she approached life.
Speaking of playing with the boys, we've mentioned your daughter Whitney, your son Connor then comes along. Now these are children of not one, but two notable basketball coaches. I have always found, in my experiences in coaching youth baseball, the easiest kids to coach were children of baseball players. Do you feel, looking back on it now, that Whitney or Connor felt like they had to play basketball because they were Dennis and Joy's children?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they just saw the process growing up, and they Joy would when we went to Memphis, Joy would take Whitney to practice all the time. Matter of fact, one of her first babysitters actually was Penny Hardaway. they would practice. The men would practice after the women, and Penny would always come in. He was that was his first year playing at Memphis in '91, and he would come in and. Joy had Whitney in the portable baby crib on the side, and Penny would come in and play with it. So they were around it, and we took the kids everywhere with us at Memphis. Memphis paid for me to go with the team wherever they went, and we took our children everywhere. So they grew up in that environment. They grew up, you know, seeing basketball, being able to dribble and mess around at practice. Joy would tell her assistants later on that had children, you can bring your kids to practice. It's no problem, you know. So I think they were just immersed in that, and that it just became natural for them to play.
But had either of them come to you and said, "Dad, Mom, I just do basketball. Just is not my thing. Want nothing to do with it." You didn't have to deal with that because it was. But had they not, how do you think either of you would have responded?
It would be fine. I have a granddaughter right now. My Whitney's oldest, she's 8 years old, and she's played basketball. But what they've done, they've put her in every sport they can imagine. Matter of fact, she's playing in a volleyball league in July in Purvis.
At least it's indoors.
Yes, but but then they introduced her to softball, and then one thing led to another, and she made this travel softball team this past year. But she played basketball this past fall, and Joy would always tease with her. Well, of course, basketball is most important. She would always look at Joy, and you know, Joy went by affectionately went by Yaya to her grandkids, and she goes, "I guess Yaya. I don't really know." But then we left it alone, and that's fine. And if she wants to play softball, well, that's my daughter. You know, that's okay. Whatever they want.
But Connor continues active in the game.
He does. He struggles with Joy's passing, and a lot more so than Whitney and I. I mean, we all struggle with it, but I mean, it's more. And he got a job with the men at UTSA this past year, and because he had a connection with them, the head coach was the head coach at Nichols men when Connor was assistant coach for the women at Nichols. So he had a connection. So he went out there this past year. And he worked with them. By mid-year, he said, "Dad, this men's game is ridiculous. I can't." Because he's grown up in the women's game.
Sure.
And he coached 8 years in the women's game. And so he still worked with them in the spring. He was a grad student, but then he didn't even really do grad classes in the spring. And then wanted to find a way, did a little club coaching. Then he moved to Dallas, but he's working now with Point Guard College, which is a camp. It's one of the best I've ever been to. I took him when he was in high school and got to witness it. It was started by Dick DiVincenzo. A long, 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 people have to be really old to know who he is. He was a great All-American point guard at Duke. And anyway, he does that and then odd jobs in between, and he's looking to see if he can – high school or college, you know.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the new women's basketball coach at Alabama and her roots with Southern Miss and more with Dennis McNellis as we wrap up the show after these commercial messages. Back in a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, Kelly Sander flying the plane solo today along with producer-engineer Ben Windpigler. Bob Getty off the rest of the week. Dima Mixon on paternity leave. He'll be back next Monday. Just in time as we head down to Football Media Day in New Orleans, which is the middle of next week. Tomorrow on the program, football coach Gene Smith is scheduled to join us. He was an assistant coach years ago on the Southern Miss staff. We'll see what he's been up to lately. We'll also be talking with the founder of the Hub City Comedy, Jamie Arrington, who is a Southern Miss graduate, and we'll get his views on and probably have kind of a funny point of view on Southern Miss athletics. And also a shout out to Craig and Chance at Fairley's HVAC. The last thing you want to be without around this time of year is air conditioning, particularly here at the radio station where we have a lot of equipment that can warm up a room pretty quickly. And Craig and Chance did a yeoman's job coming out here fixing things today. So thanks to Craig and Chance. And former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products along with all other lines of tires. Full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Finishing our discussion with Dennis McNellis, the husband of Joy Lee McNellis, who will go into the Conference USA Hall of Fame. It was announced today. Dennis, I'd imagine one of the things that Joy was especially proud of, too, is when you look at Pauline Love now, who she affectionately called P-Love, is now the women's head basketball coach at Alabama. And I mean this with all due respect to Pauline. You talk about the rags-to-riches story. I mean, this is a woman that came from very little and now is at the top of her game. Good for her.
Oh, absolutely. Pauline is a great, great, great young lady. You know, as you said, rags-to-riches. She came to Southern Miss with a duffel bag full of clothes, a little bitty duffel bag, and a queen-size comforter for a twin bed. She had no clue. The community gave her a one-way bus ticket to Hattiesburg. She came here, and she was that was back in the day when you had what was called a Prop 48. She wasn't eligible to play her freshman year. And anyway, she came and was going to class. One weekend, she comes into Joy's office. She says, "Coach, I'm going back to Luxor, Arkansas. You didn't tell me I had to have pencils and paper and books and backpack and all that kind of stuff." She says, you signed me to play basketball. and so anyway, Joy said, "Well, no, Pauline." And then we worked stuff out, and there was a administrator that would give stuff to any needy student, and they gave her things. But every time Joy would go on the road recruiting, Pauline would kind of run away or disappear. It was like, what? They found her one time playing pickup ball on the coast. And Brooks Donald Williams, who coached with Joy at Memphis here and coached the last year of Joy's life here at Southern Miss, they found her on the coast, and they knew this guy, and so they told the guy to go to the pickup game, and he says, "Oh, I'll give you a ride. Let's go get a drink," and he brought her back to Hattiesburg. But she would just drive Joy crazy. But she had to go to Jones College. She didn't – a lot of people, and I want to make this clear right now, a lot of people thought way back in the day that Pauline flunked out. She did not flunk out. She had a 2.5, but she missed too many classes. She was under that special program, and the person in charge of that program says, "Well, you missed too many days. You're out." And she was going to go home and quit, and Joy called Sandra Summerall at Jones and said, "Go with the scholarship, and she'll come to you." And she did. She went to Jones, played 1 year there, All-American, and then came back to Southern and, you know, Conference USA Player of the Year and all that stuff. You know, had a shot at the WNBA, played overseas in Europe, hurt her knee, didn't recover, went and worked for Brooks Donald Williams at McNeese. Did that a couple years. then came back and worked for Joy. And she always told Joy, you're my white mother. You helped raise me, da-da-da-da. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to work until you retire. Lo and behold, later on, Arkansas calls. Mike Neighbors says, I want to hire Pauline. So Joy says, you're going to go to the interview. And Pauline got very upset. She says, you're just trying to get rid of me, da-da-da-da. She was crying. Joy says, you're going for the interview. And Pauline was probably making mid-40s. She goes, meets Mike Neighbors, and he goes, okay, here's what we're going to pay you. And her starting salary was $125,000. She started crying and called Joy back at me. Now I understand why you want to become.
And in our finishing moments here, with the mercurial rise of the WNBA, you could argue whether it's Caitlin Clark related or not. But what do you think Joy would think of the fact now that women certainly still not on an equal economic level as the men, but certainly getting more notoriety than ever before at the professional level?
Oh, absolutely. She would love it. That was always what she fought for, was equity. You didn't have to be equal, you know, it just had to be fair. You know, she knew that she wasn't going to make what John Calipari made. But
who does in any career?
True.
Right. Well, Dennis, it has been a great hour.
Thank you.
The great reminiscing about Joy Lee McNellis. Again, left us just a little bit over a year ago, but is going into the Conference USA Basketball Hall of Fame. Looking forward to another show tomorrow here on the Eagle Hour. For producer engineer Ben Winpigler, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.